ahead and take your Bibles this morning. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to look here at a group of churches that Paul called great. I don't know about you, but I want us to have a great youth group. I want us to have a godly youth group. Now, I think that over the course of the world, as youth get together and as churches have maybe youth groups like we do, I think that there are probably a generous amount of good youth groups. I think there's probably some bad youth groups. We have been through some ebbs and flows in Temple Baptist Youth Group. And of course, youth groups are made up of teenagers, individuals. And just as there are individuals in this room today, there were individuals who made up these group of churches that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, this passage is often used to talk about a faith promise. Many times we look at the illustration of this church and what it was known for, and we talk about grace giving or our faith promise towards missions. We're going to sort of take a larger scope view this morning and notice some general principles about what it takes to have a great youth group. I want you to notice here in verse 1 what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit or to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. This was more than just one church. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and really beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. The gift here talking about an offering, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And to this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he hath begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. So as we take up this brief subject this morning, and we kind of talk about what will make Temple Baptist Youth Group a great youth group, I think we see a couple of things here from this church. I want you to see, first of all, everybody's got to know the way we are going. So we just got some fresh blood in the youth group, so to speak. We got some new family members, and we like to talk about the youth group as a youth group family. And it's important that as you come into this place, that you have a good understanding of the direction that we all are going. Now, Paul describes what this church did, but I want you to notice how what they did came about. Now, what did they do? Well, they gave money, they gave an offering to Paul to help with ministering to the saints. Now, this was an unlikely group of people to give such an offering because Paul says that they were in and of themselves in deep poverty. Okay, what does that mean? They didn't have a lot of money. And so Paul was just blown away at the grace giving of these churches that were from the area of Macedonia. So would you notice with me verse 5 what he says? And this they did, describing what they did, as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. So Paul says, let me tell you what they did. This was extraordinary. It was amazing on so many levels. But why did they do that? What made them, all of them, say, hey, this is what we want to do? And Paul says this, because they gave themselves first to the Lord. That was their direction. And so what I hope that you will recognize this morning as rising sixth graders, and that what all of us, no matter what grade you're in, will recognize this morning, is that Temple Baptist Church and youth group exists to follow Christ. That's the direction that we're headed in. Now you say, Brother Scott, I thought there were going to be games. There will be games. Okay? I thought, well, what about the fun? Well, we will have fun. Okay? What about the camp, you know, and riding the horses and woo, hee-haw. Okay? We'll do that. Well, I won't do that, but you'll do that. Okay? And that will be fun. And that will be enjoyable, and we'll experience that together. It's a blessing, but those things are not the main thing. The main thing is we're all going the same direction. And it's necessary if we're going to be a great youth group. Now, again, I have been in youth groups both in Florida and in Northern Virginia, and there have been times where everybody in those youth groups has been headed the same direction. And what a blessing that is, because everybody comes in when we have a service or maybe we're doing a service activity and people say, hey, I'm here because I love the Lord and I want to serve others. And I'm here today because I want to learn what the Bible says and I want to please Christ. And boy, when everybody has that type of attitude, great things happen. Great things happen. But all of us have to pursue that together. If we're fractured, or we've got this group over here who doesn't love the Lord, or this group over here who could care less about the preaching of 2 Corinthians and chapter 8, and we have this group over here that's on fire for God, let me tell you, as a group, we're not going to move a whole lot. We're not going to make a whole lot of traction as a youth group. So all of us, one of the favorite things that I love seeing that the kids do from time to time is a three-legged race. Three-legged race is just awesome because it shows how difficult it is for two people to be in sync with one another. The norm for a two-legged, three-legged race is that people fall over. I love seeing that. You say, Brother Scott, that's cruel. Maybe it is, but it's funny. And as people get together and they have a hard time and woo, you know, and they can't seem to make it, but there's usually a few people who get it. There's a few people who make a lot of traction. There's a few people who almost seem as if they move as one together. And that's a really cool thing when that happens. But that's not the norm. Okay, look, I don't care about anybody else's youth group except Temple Baptist Church. And I do care that no matter who you are, what grade you're in, you know the direction we're headed. And what direction is that? Hey, I'm pursuing the Lord. I want to grow in Him. I'm giving myself to Him, and I'm saying, Lord, whatever You want for me, out of Your Word or for my life, that's what I want for me. And that's what I want for our youth group. And that's where a great youth group, a great group of Christians, being able to gain traction in a world that does not love the Lord, begins. So we see everybody's got to know which way we're going. And then notice the second thing here. And we see this here in verse 5. And this is the second part of what the why of these people were so generous in what they did and what compelled them to do it. Look at verse 5 again. There's two parts to this. But first, gave their own selves to the Lord. That's step one. And then number two, and unto us by the will of God. So this is the second thing. Not only has everybody got to know which way we're going, but number two, everybody's got to be focused on everybody. Everybody's got to be focused on everybody. Now that's hard, because every single person in this room will fight the temptation to be selfish. And you will fight that temptation every day that you live. We are most concerned with ourselves. And yet Paul says, look, these churches were living on another level. And it started with the fact that they were pursuing Christ at all costs. And secondly, because they wanted to minister to other people. Their focus was not inward, it was outward. How can I minister to someone else? You know, that's probably one of the hardest things in a youth group. A lot of times what happens is we get these factions. We get these cliques. You know, you have 50, 60 people and people just kind of pair off. And if you're a part of the group, you're in. But if you're not, you're out. You got to find your own group. Okay? That may be human nature, but that's not how the Lord wants us to live as Christians. And if all of us have a heart for each one of each other, then we're going to have a unified and a great spirit in this youth group. Boy, they gave themselves to the Lord, but then they were willing to give themselves to each other. So I have to be willing to say, okay, well, maybe I'm not the most outgoing person, but I'm going to greet everybody. Maybe I don't feel comfortable greeting everybody, but I'm going to make myself do it because I want everybody to know that everybody's important. And so when Melody has a prayer request, it's important that I listen to her prayer request when she gives it. When Jaden has a need and he's got a big test coming up and it's important to him, it's important to me that I know what's going on in Jaden's life. Why? Because he's part of the family. And so when we get that type of activity, boy, let me tell you, special things happen. And that was the churches of Macedonia. They gave themselves to the Lord. They gave themselves to each other. Paul stepped back. He said, these are an amazing group of bodies here. These are an amazing group of churches. And they were great because of it. Let me give you the last thing, and then we'll be done this morning. But notice on down, and this is the last verse that we read. But you see what Paul says here is he's talking now to the Corinthian believers. Okay, this letter was written to the Corinthian church, and he now addresses the Corinthian church after using the churches of Macedonia as an example. And then he says, verse 7, he says, he turns the corner here. He says, therefore, in regards to everything I've just mentioned, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. What is he talking about? This grace. This grace. He's pointing back to the churches of Macedonia. Okay, and this is where we get our third point. We saw, number one, everybody's got to know which way we're going. Number two, everybody's got to be focused on everybody. And then number three, everybody can. Everybody can. And that's what Paul is saying here to the Corinthian believers. He's saying, listen, this model found in the Macedonian churches is something you can do, Church at Corinth. That's something that you can pursue. Now, who's he talking to? The Church at Corinth was a fractured, ununified, arrogant church that had a ton of issues. Hey, they've got a lot of pages dedicated to their wrongdoing in the New Testament. You know what Paul said? Paul said, listen, here's where these churches are, and here's where you can be. You know, there are certain things that Brother Scott can't do. Okay? I can't play the violin. All right? Some of you can. Raise your hand if you can play the violin. Okay. A good portion of the room can play the violin. Somebody said, Brother Scott, I want you to play the national anthem on the violin. I could try. Okay, I could pick it up, and maybe even I could look like I know what I'm doing. Probably not, but maybe I could fake it. But as soon as I put that bow to the strings, everybody in the room is going to know that this is not Brother Scott's gift. Okay? There are certain things that I just cannot do. There are things that you cannot do. Like, Brother Scott, how could you say that? My ego. Okay, yeah. There are certain things that you can't do. But listen, don't miss this, because Paul doesn't put any exceptions on this. He says, listen, Church at Corinth, you can do this. You can all together make the personal choice to commit to the pursuit of Christ. Hey, this is the direction we're all going here. This is the direction of our youth group. We'll have fun, we'll do cool things, but at the end of the day, our purpose, we are here to follow Christ. And second of all, everybody's got to focus on everybody. It's more than just the activities that Brother Scott likes to do. It's more than the donuts that Brother Scott likes to eat. Okay? It's hey, what about them? And what about the person that I don't know too well over there? And am I being friendly to those people there that aren't in my grade? Well, that's the kind of pursuit we want. We want a godly pursuit. And I believe that's going to put us in a special place. This is something everybody can do, and it's something that I hope we all will pursue, no matter what our age or grade or maturity in Christ. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the illustration of the churches of Macedonia, Lord, how in spite of the roadblocks in their lives, the deep poverty, Lord, that they existed in, Lord, they gave anyway. And Lord, they were used as a great example to other churches, and Lord, they're an example to us even today. Lord, we ask that you would help each one of us to be unified, Lord, to pursue you together. Lord, I pray that there wouldn't be one person who isn't interested or Lord, would hold us back or Lord, go in an opposite direction of you. Lord, I pray that everybody would lockstep together, move forward. And Lord, I pray that we would be extra concerned with each other. Lord, not selfish. Lord, not building ourselves up, but Lord, building each other. Lord, because it's something we can do and we should do. Lord, speak to our hearts in the morning service. Lord, we love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.